set, hooked up? Thank you for joining us today for this very important announcement. The Los Angeles Police Department Cold Case Squad, which was created in 2001, has a motto, and that motto is, no case is too old or too cold. Well, today we're pleased to report that a very significant number of those very old and very cold cases, we believe, have now been solved. And as importantly, there are many more that we believe continued investigation will help solve. And I'd like to give you some details of the case that we're here to discuss. Chief Beck will go into more detail. He will also introduce the many people that you see behind me, all of whom played a role in the development of the announcement today and the arrest of this individual who we believe is responsible for a very significant number of murders and rapes and terrorizing this city over an extended period of time. With that, let me begin. In November 2001, the Los Angeles Police Department created a cold case homicide unit. Their goal, to review thousands and thousands of unsolved and unresolved murder cases, look at the evidence, and decide if any of the evidence could be reevaluated using new forensic techniques, particularly DNA testing. The hope of the dedicated detectives who do this painstaking work, that their effort leads to the arrest of a killer. And over the last several years, we have significantly expanded the number of personnel in that unit as their success rate has continued to increase. Today we are here to announce that thanks to the RHD cold case detectives and criminalists with our department's scientific investigation division, we have arrested 72-year-old John Floyd Thomas Jr. of Los Angeles. His pictures going through the years, you can see to my right, and his most recent picture here on the map depicting one series of the crimes that we believe he was involved in going back to the early 1960s and 70s. Through DNA, Thomas has been linked to two LAPD cold case homicides and to three other murders being investigated by the Inglewood Police Department and Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Thomas, at this time, and we believe this will probably expand, is also suspected in as many as 25 other murders and scores of rapes that occurred in the Southland during the 1970s and 1980s. With that, I'd like to introduce our Chief of Detectives, Charlie Beck, who will work you through the particulars as to how this case came to be and the work of the various people who he will introduce behind me in terms of how they brought the case to conclusion. Chief Beck.
Thank you, Chief. This is a case very much about tenacity and science. And in order to introduce some of the people involved here, I think it's important to mention the support that the Los Angeles Police Department and the City of Los Angeles have received from our City Council in the progression of the science of DNA and its application to police work. I'm going to introduce for speaking a little bit later Jack Weiss, the chair of our Public Safety Committee, Bill Rosenthal from District 11, who is the home district of one of the victims to this, and I think we will also be joined by Herb Wesson, who will also speak. Also, behind me are three of our criminalists who were very involved in this case. Without their application of science, this case would have never come to fruition. Also, my cold case squad from Robbery Homicide Division, the two lead detectives who played an integral role in this and without whose dedication to the long dead, this would have never occurred. I have from cold case Richard Benston and Rick Jackson. Also, Dennis Kremens is joining us. He's the captain of Robbery Homicide Division. And I think a very important piece of our partners within the region, because this really is a regional story. From Inglewood, we have Captain Eve Irvine and her detectives. And Eve will come up and speak, and she will also introduce to you one of the lone surviving relatives who will give some insight into what this means to have a case this long gone, something that has haunted you for literally generations, come to a conclusion. I also want to make special mention of two police officers involved in this case. You think that a cold case is the domain of the detective. You think of going through musty old books and doing scientific evaluation. But I have two young police officers here, who, without whose work, we wouldn't be having this press conference, and this case would have never been solved. They are the individuals that collected the DNA from our suspect in this, and without them doing that, this would have never happened. And that's Robert Lanigan and Amber McDonald. And they're obviously the two good-looking uniform officers over here. So I think that this is a story very much about the progression of law enforcement, the change in the city, the change in the way we do things and why we do things. And I think everybody in this, up at this podium, and I know it's a crowded podium, is integral here. And without any of these players, without the backing of counsel, without the ability of scientific investigation, without the tenacity of the young uniformed officers, and without the will to succeed of the robbery homicide detectives, none of this would have happened.
Ali, can I make one addition?
Yes, sir.
Also, we are benefiting by Prop 69.
Yes.
That the voters approved back a few years ago. So we really are seeing the direct benefit of that initiative that the voters supported, and the creators of that legislation really need to be thanked also, that their foresight in providing additional tools to take advantage of the new forensic capabilities is going to bring to closure in this city, this county, a lot of cases that but for Prop 69 would never have allowed this to happen.
And the chief is exactly right. You know,
You are. It's good to be the chief.
It's good to be the chief. Without the application of science and the political will to apply that science, it's meaningless. You know, we have abilities, but we have to be able to exercise those abilities. You know, as a sidebar to this conversation, because of Prop 69 and other legislation, we are adding 35,000 individuals to the DNA database every month in the state of California. That is an incredible, incredible achievement. Within the next 5 years, our entire predatory population will be in CODIS, in the database, and we will be able to put an end to the ability of individuals like Mr. Thomas to get away with this kind of crime for any amount of time, much less generations. So let me tell you, let me finish the chief's comments and tell you that how this case came to be. And this case came to began its winding into fruition in 2002 when the newly formed Cold Case Robbery Homicide Division detectives reviewed the unsolved murder of Ethel Sokoloff. At the time of her tragic death in 1972, Ms. Sokoloff was 68 years of age. She was found in her home, beaten, strangled, and sexually assaulted. Detectives found biological evidence that had gone untested, well, because, of course, there was no DNA process at the time. So they found remaining DNA evidence or potential DNA evidence in a sexual assault kit related to Ms. Sokoloff and requested analysis from Scientific Investigation Division. Scientific Investigation Division took this small amount of decades-old evidence and was able to detect the presence of foreign DNA, which was put into the statewide, nationwide database. After that, detectives looked at a companion case. This companion case is the unsolved murder of Elizabeth McEwen, who was killed in 1976. At the time of her death, Ms. McEwen was 67 years of age. She was attacked after parking her car at her home, and she too had been brutally beaten, strangled, and sexually assaulted. Detectives again recovered what evidence had been booked in that case and gave it to Scientific Investigation Division, who looked at it with new eyes and new technology and were also able to extract DNA. A male DNA profile was built for each one of these cases. In 2004, a case-to-case match was made on these two cases. And what that means is that Department of Justice, through CODIS, linked these two cases, saying you have the same suspect, but we don't know who that individual is. It's an unknown person. That person is not in our database. In September 2004, detectives received further notification that additional case-to-case matches had been made to this case. And those were the three unsolved murders that we referenced from the LA County Sheriff's jurisdiction in the Claremont area, and also from the city of Englewood. Detectives knew that this series was the work of a serial killer, but at the time the case was very cold. 20 years since the most recent homicide had occurred in 1986, and this discovery was made. The detectives worked diligently on the case. They took samples from folks not in CODIS that came to their attention through other investigative avenues, but to no avail. No results after years, and the case languished, awaiting further development. That's where the young officers come in. As part of our program to build the most robust database that we possibly can to include all predators in the CODIS, which is the database that we search for DNA, we are actively pursuing the 6,000 registrants of sexual crimes within the city, 290 registrants, you often heard them referred to make sure all of them have DNA in the system. Now, of those 6,000, about 3% do not, many because the cases are very old, some through other for other reasons. And we have officers who part of their duties is the registration of these folks, but also another part is to find these individuals that do not have DNA in CODIS and get them entered. And that's what these two Southwest officers did. They made contact with Mr. Thomas and obtained his DNA sample, having no idea where that sample would lead. And they put that into evidence, and it was sent to Department of Justice in Sacramento in late 2008. 5 months later, on March 27th, the California Department of Justice notified the LAPD that a DNA match had been made on these five extant cases. John Floyd Thomas was identified as a suspect in the strangulation deaths of Ethel Sokoloff, Elizabeth McEwen, and the victims in the cases being investigated by Englewood Police and the LA County Sheriffs. A review of Thomas's criminal history revealed that he was arrested a number of times between 1955 and 1978. I believe he spent 8 years in prison during that time. His criminal convictions consist of multiple burglaries, many of which involve sexual assaults of his victims. That's why this case is one of the very interesting aspects of this case. When you review what I just told you through the eyes of 2009, it seems inconceivable that somebody could be convicted of these home invasion rapes and receive this kind of minimal amount of time. But that is the difference in the criminal justice system between then and now. And many people pine and ask for the good old days, but believe me, they weren't so good in this aspect. The penalties for these kinds of crimes would have never allowed Mr. Thomas to be out in this day and age, which is a very good thing. 4 days later, after surveillance and other investigative leads have been followed up on, LAPD detectives arrested Mr. Thomas for murder, and his bail was set at $1 million. On April 2nd, 2009, our case, the two murders that LAPD is responsible for, was presented to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office Sex Crimes Units. Two counts of murder with special circumstances have been filed against Thomas, making him eligible for life without parole. Another interesting historic piece. The reason that there's no death penalty attached to these two cases is they occurred before 1978, when the death penalty was held in abeyance. If he is convicted of crimes that occurred after that are similar in nature to these two crimes, he may be eligible indeed for the death penalty. Thomas is scheduled to be arraigned May 20th. At that time, the LA County District Attorney will make the decision on the additional cases in Englewood and LA County. But as the Chief said, this investigation is far from over. We believe that Thomas is likely connected to many more sexually motivated murders, including many that happened during the mid-70s. The majority of these crimes occurred in the divisions of Hollywood, Wilshire, and Rampart area. This was a series that was investigated at this time by the best detectives that existed in the Los Angeles Police Department in that time frame. Unfortunately, they didn't have the advantages of computerized databases, of tracking systems, of CompStat, of the ability to instantly manage information that we have today. But still, they connected this series of crimes. But they didn't have the evidence to show to connect it to an individual. The suspect in those cases was called the West Side Rapist. Because of Thomas's criminal background, the MO of the crimes that he's committed, and the close proximity of his homes to murder locations, it is suggested, and we believe, that he is linked by modus operandi to this series of crimes. We strongly believe that Mr. Thomas is the West Side Rapist that was hunted by detectives in the 70s, including my father, in the city of Los Angeles. Yes, and actually the map that has been was in the paper today and is displayed here is directly from the investigation of those detectives in from the LAPD in the 70s, and it shows the geography covered and the connection.
Shows residences, shows locations where he worked, relatives' homes, and shows the homes of all the victims during that period of time. So there's, from a modus operandi connectivity, it's fairly clear in the sense of what was going on back at that time.
Again, the detectives were able to connect these crimes, but because, you have to remember, back in this time frame, there was no fingerprint, not even a fingerprint database. So you could make fingerprint comparisons, but you had to have a suspect in custody to do so. So, you know, I just want to be clear that to attach our standards to the detectives that were tasked with this case would be unfair. But luckily, as the chief said, no case is too old or too cold, and the individuals behind me have made sure that motto has been played out. Cold case detectives are going to continue to focus on this case. We believe that Mr. Thomas may be responsible for cases that go as far back as the mid-50s, and we are going to go all the way back to those cases. We will exhume the cases. We will recover what evidence is available, and we will try to bring long sought after justice to the many victims that have been long dead at Mr. Thomas's hand. So, having said all that, you know, I'd like to bring up one of the men that's responsible for our ability to do these kind of cases. DNA technology, I know it seems, since we talk about it so much, that it's well-developed, but it really is in its infancy, and it's very expensive to do, very time-consuming. And it uses a lot of the city's resources, and without the commitment of political leadership, we wouldn't be able to do it. And, you know, I have two of the men behind me that provide that leadership. And first, I'd like to bring up the Chair of Public Safety for the City Council, and that's Councilman Jack Weiss.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chief Beck. But the reality is that this case was made because of your dedication and Chief Bratton's dedication to fully funding Scientific Investigation Division at LAPD and making sure that today's LAPD is second to none when it comes to using science in addition to good old-fashioned detective work. That's why this case was made. But I'll tell you this. One can only imagine that for decade after decade after decade, Mr. Thomas must have thought he'd gotten away with murder after murder after murder. And in the 20th century, he probably had some reason to hope that he had. In the 21st century, as long as the LAPD still has the evidence, it won't necessarily be people wearing a blue uniform, but it could be people wearing white lab coats who can make the key determinations that will bring these elusive criminals to justice. Now, let's be very clear about this. The LAPD is stretched in a million different directions in this busy city, but cases like this, cold cases, can only be worked on and analyzed if the council gives the LAPD the funding to do so. Otherwise, old cases are going to be shifted to the side in favor of the press of current business. A case like this makes clear how important it is that we continue to fully fund Chief Bratton's request to bring up that crime lab to a full complement of criminalists, and I'm hopeful the council is going to do that in the coming weeks. Thank you, Chief Beck.
Thank you.
In fact, you don't have to hope. The council will. We're 100% in support
of giving the police department the tools to do their job. On behalf of Elizabeth McEwen's family and everybody on the West Side, we're most grateful, folks, for your combined efforts to make this happen. This is police work at its best, folks. And there's no crime, I don't care how long ago, that isn't going to be attempted to be solved. And what you see today is a perfect example of it, going all the way back to the 70s and staying focused on what the job is about. And the voters approved Prop 69, as the chief had said. So good job, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Charlie, you want to introduce our guest from Mingle?
Sure. I'm going to bring up Captain Eve Irvine, a good friend of mine, and the chief of detectives for the for the Inglewood Police Department.
Happens a lot.
I get confused at my age.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'd like to first thank the Los Angeles Police Department for their cooperative effort in trying to assist us in solving these crimes. It's great to be able to work with LAPD and to utilize some of the resources that they have as well to help us solve all of these crimes because they affect us all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give a brief statement on what Inglewood has done, the Inglewood cases, and then I believe it will be open for some questions afterwards. In 1976, there was a series of murders involving older Caucasian females in the city of Inglewood. At the time, the Inglewood Police Department exhausted all workable leads. However, we did collect both physical and biological evidence. However, as previously stated before, at the time, we were unable to link it to the evidence to a suspect. Throughout the past 30 years, the Inglewood Police Department has revisited each of these investigations in an effort to identify a suspect. In 2003, the DNA technology advanced to the level that evidence obtained at the time of the crimes was submitted for analysis. In March 2009, the Inglewood Police Department was contacted by the Los Angeles Police Department, advising that they indeed had a suspect who was also involved in these incidents. The Inglewood Police Department has conducted follow-up investigations on each of the Inglewood cases throughout the 30 years and is currently in the process of submitting the cases to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office for filing. And I'm going to give you a synopsis on all three of the Inglewood cases. The first case involved the murder of Maybelle Hudson, who was killed in April of 1976 inside of her residence. At the time of her death, she was 80 years old, and she lived alone. The second case involved the murder of Miriam McKinley, who was killed in June of 1976. At the time of her death, she was 65 years old, and she also lived alone. The third case involved the murder of Evelyn Bunner, who was killed in October of 76. At the time, she was 56 years of age. Each of the biological evidence in these cases have been submitted to the CODIS and through the DNA, and we so far have a biological hit on two of them, and we're waiting for confirmation on the third one. So, thank you.
And we are now available for questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. We should be passing out a press release. Okay, I'll repeat it.
Sure.
The Inglewood, the first victim that occurred in April of 1976 was Maybelle Hudson, M-A-Y-B-E-L-L-E, Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N. She was 80 years of age at the time of her murder. The second victim was killed in June of 1976, and her name is Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M, McKinley, capital M, small c, capital K-I-N-L-E-Y. The third case of a murdered victim was Evelyn, E-V-A-L-Y-N, Bunner, B-U-N-N-E-R, and she was killed in October of 1976. Now, at the time, in 1976, we too had linked all three of these cases together. Unfortunately, technology had not advanced to the level, and it was already spoken about how there was no fingerprint system, there was no DNA biological evidence that could be analyzed. And thanks to the modern technology and also Prop 69 and some of these other laws that have enabled us to collect DNA evidence, I believe we're going to see a lot more of these crimes, these cold cases, crimes solved.
No, he's excluded from the Grim Sleeper by his biological evidence.
Okay, and also, has there been a psychological profile as to why he targets older
You know, there's a lot of speculation on that, but I think it's too early. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, it's too early to talk about that. I mean, he's only been in custody for a short amount of time. You know, that will be something that is post-conviction on this particular individual. You know, now there are a lot of reasons that those people might be targeted, a lot of it having to do with they're the most vulnerable in society, likely to live alone, things like that. So, you know, it'd be speculation, though. And I have, you know, one of our cold case detectives here, Rich Bengston. You've had your way with Rick Jackson many times, so I'm not going to bring him up. But I have Rich up here if anybody wants to ask specific questions that I can't handle.
Chief, I have a question for Mr. Beck. Clearly the success of this breakthrough was based on getting this fellow into the database. Chief, are you satisfied with the current state of the law in terms of getting possible offenders in the database, or would you like to see additional changes to widen that net to catch bad guys? What are your thoughts on that?
Wide now.
The net is pretty wide now, that the ability to take arrestees, get it. Of course, with the state's budget situation, ensuring that they commit the resources to examining these swabs that we send in, which, as Charlie has indicated, by the tens of thousands, you've been widely reporting our backlog. That so what we have to really keep focused on is that the state, with its budget issues, doesn't get backlogged on getting these swabs into the system, because I think you're going to see many more of these press conferences in the months ahead as more and more of these individuals, both in our case, 3% of the 6,000 we're still trying to track down, but the thousands upon thousands of criminals that we're in a position to gather evidence against, we focus right now certainly on the murders and the rapes, sexual assaults, but the technology is there also to start using it for burglaries and other types of crime. So good news is the capabilities are there. The news to continue to focus on is that the resources continue to be committed to it.
He's going to talk. Excuse me, Captain Irvine's going to talk about it.
It's okay. We're waiting for the grandson of Miss Hudson. However, I'm not sure if parking is a problem, or I'm also not sure if, you know, this might be a little overwhelming. You know, you can only imagine 30 years ago having to deal with your mother or your sister or your aunt or your grandmother being tragically killed in a horrible incident like this and dealing with the grief then. And now 30-plus years later, you know, it all comes back again. So I'm not exactly sure why he's here. We have been in contact. We're trying to call, or we've left message, excuse me. So as soon as we do make contact, I will certainly give you an update as to his status.
Chief, wasn't there back in the 70s another serial rapist also attacking elderly victims, and that confused part of the investigation, because there was more than one West Side rapist from what we understand. Do you recall that also being that person that was caught?
You know, there. Unfortunately, during that time period, this crime, heinous as it is, was not uncommon as it is today. There was more than one individual working. There have been arrests made for similar cases, and we are still looking to see what patterns were unidentified in the 60s and in the 50s. So I think that it is safe to say that a lot of work has yet to be done, and the connections that will be made from this case, as Eve was talking about, just since the last time she and I talked, they've made another suspect on DNA. We have several suspects from this series that have passed the initial hurdles of being matched. I mean, several samples from this series that have passed the initial hurdles of being matched, and I'm confident they will be matched. This is not the last time we will talk about this. This is our introduction of a long-term case. Rich, young as Rich Bengston is, this case will follow him for the rest of his career until he's yet. And I think that's important to recognize. You know, I a lot of speculation can be done now about what all Mr. Thomas was responsible for, but I can tell you this: we have not yet reached the depth of what he has done.
Well, Chief, can you speculate a little bit more?
How long you talked about? Department? Let me just ask the chief. How long have you been with the department?
I've been with the department for 32 years.
You've been around for a while. What was your reaction when you heard that you may have nab the West Side rapist?
It's a very big deal to me. When I was a young police officer, I stood by while detectives processed several of these crime scenes. And when you have the most vulnerable in society attacked, revered elders, people that should have earned the right to finish their lives in comfort and safety, to be violated like this, it's trying on young people. And I was a young person at the time, not as jaded as I am now. So it meant a lot to me. This was a very big deal. And at the time, we were very frustrated in our inability to solve this case.
Can you tell us about the arrest?
I can sum up the arrest. He was surveilled by Special Investigations Section for some amount of time while we had discussions with the DA on the arrest. We verified that he was indeed healthy and physically able enough that we still considered him to be a threat in the community. We saw that he had a position that gave him access to folks in private settings through his employment, and we immediately arrested him because it's my belief that even though we don't have any crimes recently, he's still a threat. And he's 72 years old. That's just a number to a lot of people. I mean, he is a physically capable individual, and still physically capable of this kind of crime. No.
We have
the relative. Frank, I'll tell you what. Let's bring our surviving relative up,
sure.
and let him have a discussion. Let Captain Irvine introduce him, and we'll then we can continue. Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce Robert Kistner, who is the great nephew of Maybell Hudson. So I'd like to have him come up. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Captain.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chief.
My name is Bob Kistner, a recently retired sergeant from Long Beach PD. And when Detective Becerra called me the other day, told me he had some great news, I told him that I had waited my entire career for that phone call. I had just started my career in Long Beach when we got the call at home that my aunt, Maybell Hudson, had been brutally murdered in the city of Inglewood. And I've tried to keep tabs on it throughout my career. Kept running into dead stops. As been mentioned already today, technology just wasn't to the point where it is today. And so every couple of years, I'd make a phone call to Inglewood. They'd let me know what the progress had been, but they too were kind of stymied by it. So I was very, very impressed with the determination and the dedication of all the investigators in these cases to come up with an outcome like this and have the subject in custody. Very, very relieving.
Is it gratifying for you, Bob, to finally get this call and this news? A woman important in your life, gone forever, and now resolution. How do you feel about all that?
Oh, it feels fantastic. I know my aunt, the very good Christian that she was, would be hoping for the salvation of his soul and looking for forgiveness. I come from the law enforcement side of it. I can't be quite as forgiving, I'm afraid. So I'm looking very forward to watching the progress through the courts.
Did you anticipate this day would come with the advent of DNA testing?
I was always hoping for it. I knew that there had been some samples collected at the crime scene. This was just a great wish of mine, and 33 years later, it's come to be.
What other members of your family, what have they said?
I wish I had more members to share this great news with. My mother, my grandmother, her sisters, all passed away now. So basically, I had two brothers of mine that were around when the crime occurred.
What can you tell us about your aunt?
Maybell Hudson was just the sweetest thing you'd ever want to see. A school teacher, old-time school teacher, grew up with my grandmother in Sioux City, Iowa. Always had wanted me to become a teacher. I went into law enforcement. I'd like to think that in some way that's becoming a teacher as well. She's at my great aunt.
Okay, and if you could spell your last name.
Kistner, K-I-S-T-N-E-R.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chief.
You'd asked to speak to the offices that had worked with our VAC team, and I'd like to bring them up, and they could respond to any questions you might have, as well as one of the detectives
that was
involved in this case.
Go ahead, Amber, get up there.
Be easy on him. Yes, I'm Officer Robert Lanigan, Southwest Division.
Officer Amber McDonald, Southwest Division.
What drew your attention to this fellow? Was this a standard check? How did it go down?
Right. All of our sex registrants, we gather a buccal DNA sample from them. So it's just
like this.
Exactly. So it's just part of our routine in handling sex registrants.
Can you describe what he went through? I mean, when you approached him for the swabbing, did he say anything?
Well, where did you approach him? I mean, how did this...
He came...
Home visit or what?
No, he volunteered to come to the station to provide a sample. He was very cooperative.
Okay.
Can you hold that up one more time? What is that?
This is the buccal sample DNA kit that we use to collect the sample.
And then that kit is sent to DOJ in Sacramento where it's processed and uploaded into CODIS.
Are they required to give these samples by law?
Yeah. Yes.
So he willingly walked into the police station to give a DNA sample when he allegedly committed 30 murders?
Well, the officers had contacted him to demand his presence, and rather than be tracked down, he came to the station, which often happens. And well, sure. Because
so did he ever, obviously, he never registered before because he didn't have his DNA. Where he had registered, but he hadn't collected the DNA.
That's correct.
And had he disobeyed not giving his DNA, or was this the first contact, the first request for his DNA?
If you remember.
Must have been his first request. We weren't, you know, we hadn't worked the unit the whole time, but for a period of time, we're just catching up on collecting DNA and all the.
The way it works is they're required to register annually or upon moving. Sometimes they fall behind in their registration, especially somebody at a more advanced age may not be hunted down immediately. But we put a lot of pressure is not the right word, but we make strong requests that the officers stay current because we do have so many detectives and criminalists working the cold cases that it's important that we get every piece of DNA that we are legally entitled to within CODIS.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Chief,
thank you all very much. Very much appreciate your attention.
Thank you,
this.
Guys.
Hopefully, it'll elicit additional information for our
Chief,
detectives.
Just one last question. Could you characterize this in the annals of the LAPD? If you have 30 murders here,